Welcome to Champion Church of the Nazarene's weekly sermon podcast. Each week brings a new message that looks to invite you into a new life brought by Jesus Christ. We hope you are inspired and changed by God by the message brought by today's speaker.
We are grateful that you are here today. We call on the name of Jesus. It is He we serve. We thank God that His Holy Spirit is omnipresent, i.e. everywhere. And so we are in His presence. We come into the sanctuary because it is His place where He chooses to let us worship Him. I want to share some things with you this week. Last week I started what I called the biblical perspective of baptism. I want to continue that thought today. And Kyle, I'll tell you when to go to slide 12. You're doing good, man. First, before I say anything, I want to thank God for Kyle. My goodness, sound man, AV man, keeping my brains. Yeah, please. That is a heart of service, and that is not caught by happenstance. It is not genetic. It is by God the Holy Spirit. So, Kyle, I want to say thank you in front of everybody. I'm grateful to you. I shared with you last week as I got up that I have some concerns and I have some joys and excitations. I am excited for the church, and yet I am concerned for the church and for our culture. We stand and sit and operate in a culture that is going, as one has said, to hell in a handbasket. We are facing drugs in the White House. We are facing sin in our country and around the world. We are facing in the state of Ohio, for example, a referendum on the ballot that they want to pass, and we are coming against. We called on us for a spirit and a baptism of repentance last week. We started to have a three-point sermon of the three main baptisms that we believe in, and we only got to point one. Therefore, I'm just going to share with you, when Kyle calls up that next slide, it'll say point two. That's because it's the PowerPoint presentation from last week, and I still feel that we should continue along that line. So please understand, it is not a typo. It is a continuation of that series that we have made it a series. The situations we find ourselves in the ballot is this. The left wing of the political culture is wanting us in the state to say it's okay to have 50% plus one vote to change an entire constitution of the state of Ohio. That is terrifying. Where they are going with that is this, and I don't say things politically in the pulpit. I have said things three to four times that I could account for, and twice in the last two churches. I'm not going to tell you how that ended in the last one. But I'm still going to be bold because I truly believe, and in reading scriptures, the apostles were brought before the political people. The prophets, the priests, the people spoke out about issues, and so I must also. That ballot on the ballot box is this. We want us to say no to that. It is a 60% vote that has to go and before a constitutional amendment can be there to change the Constitution in any way. They want to say 50% plus one vote, and that's it. Where they are going with it is multifaceted. One, predominantly, initially, absolutely, is they can abort babies even while they're being born. That is absolute from the gates of hell. I'm going to tell you, Jesus loves children. He brought the children unto Him. God allows ladies to be pregnant. And that is a creation of God. And so that is horrible. Where they will go with it and are wanting to go with it next, among other things, is what they call hate speech. If you disagree with them, your hate speech. In a church, your hate speech. They can now, then, shut you down. Even churches. And so I'm calling on all of us to vote. To vote for God, to vote for people, to vote for life, and to vote for the ability to freedom of assembly. Why do I bring that up in a sermon about baptism? We need to be baptized with the spirit of repentance that we have not spoken out before and that we do not speak out. I am not saying get on a pedestal and scream bloody murder with a microphone in the middle of some center point, but I am saying this, speak out and speak out much, because God has called us to be soldiers of the cross. God has called us to be soldiers of the cross. Last week I shared with you that baptism, by its basic meaning, was this: a statement of being baptized as a follower of Jesus. There is the baptism of repentance. It means the blood of Jesus has cleansed us from all sins. We have been washed and baptized in the blood of Jesus. I shared with you last week upon that we had some people visit us, and no small children. They came up in a blood red color car, got out in black, and carried a skeleton. That's Satanism. We pled the blood of Jesus, and look what happened last week. We had a phenomenal, phenomenal service. God is doing something great among us, and I'm going to trust that He is going to explode in us, on us, with us, and through us, not just in the way He's doing, but in something like we have not experienced in a long time. We also shared with you that the seven baptisms were these: baptism of Moses in Exodus 13:21, and 1 Corinthians 10:1-3, they were baptized into Moses in the cloud, into Moses in the cloud, and in the sea. They came under the cloud, the flow of the cloud. They came under the flow of the sea, and they were baptized into Moses to believe in God the Deliverer. There was the baptism of John the Baptist in Mark, among others of the Gospels, as well as Acts 19:7, and it was defined by John to those who had believed on Jesus and repented of their sins and believed on whoever that would be, which would become Jesus as the Messiah. It was a baptism of repentance first, and then a baptism by water. He preached, repent and be baptized. It is both. We preached there was a baptism of Jesus, and we shared that. Jesus came up. John said, "Let me be baptized by you." And Jesus said, "No, you baptize me." And John baptized Jesus to reaffirm the holiness of water baptism. The holiness of water baptism. And reaffirm the need for all believers to be baptized or to be rebaptized. And I will get to all of that in a little bit. There is the baptism by fire, Matthew 3:11-12 and John 5:22. It is a baptism by fire by Jesus in judgment for the life of people, but also with the Holy Spirit and fire. There is a baptism then of the Holy Spirit, which we will be speaking of next week. If you are here and listening by internet land, I'm going to encourage you, please, please listen to it all. We believe in baptism of the water. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to encourage all to tune in next week and all to express interest to us as so wanted and needed. There's the baptism of the cross. Jesus calls his suffering that he is about to suffer as the baptism of suffering for the cause of God, the message of the gospel, the surrender to "not my will but yours be done." And very important is that only in our surrender of the cross, of repentance, can we then have baptism of water and then go to baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then there's the seventh, the baptism of believers, by believers, to believers. That's in Matthew 28:19, as well as in Acts. Jesus commands the disciples, who will soon be filled with the Holy Spirit, to then go make other disciples and baptize them. Our theme this morning is, again, the biblical perspective of baptism. We will also share with you that, again, we will be on multiple texts. It'll be exegetical, it'll be hermeneutical, it'll be expository, and we will just be sharing multiple verses. So I'm going to encourage you to follow along. In our sermon in a sentence this week is still baptism, and for this week, even water baptism is biblical, and thus what we all should experience, have, and dwell in. First thing I note about water baptism is this. Point two, thank you, Kyle. That's slide 12, I think, but you're doing great. I'm really grateful for you, man. Point two is, the first thing I note is that baptism by water is established. When and as we are baptized into repentance, then there is a natural progression and a natural desire to want to be baptized by water. We're already talking with two people, and maybe more are wanting to think about baptism by water or rebaptism by water. That is why the church, in its wisdom and in its foresight, has the baptismal up here. We're going to use it. God provided it. God gave it. You have it. We are going to use it. I would ask, if you do that, to please wear clothes appropriate for getting wet. But beyond that, we will get you wet. We will not want you to go down in the water until you are saved by grace. Our only concern, our only absolute criteria is biblical, and is this: do you believe in Jesus, and do you know you are a Christian? We're done. If you do, we will talk with you, and then when you get baptized or rebaptized, I'm going to ask you that again, and you will need to affirm that. But point A is this: baptism by water is established. Let's look at Luke chapter 3, verses 15 through 16. Pardon me. Verse 15. Now as the people were in expectation of all, and all reasoned in their hearts about John, they were hearing him preach. They were understanding him preach. He was preaching about baptism of repentance and of the one to come. They were wondering, is he the one that is supposed to be the Messiah? Whether or not he, the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one is coming who is mightier than I, whose sandal I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Remember, I said those were two of the baptisms that were mentioned in the scriptures. I look at this, and it's also in Matthew 3, 1 through 6, Mark 1, 5 through 8, and John 1, 24 through 26. I look at this, and I see that John was the chosen forerunner of Jesus and established forgiveness of sins of preaching first. In the Old Testament, they would bring their sacrificial offering. They would say, we want to be forgiven, and we bring a sacrificial offering, and then the priest would slaughter the lamb or the goat and take it outside the gate, put the sins of the person on them, take it outside the gate, and they would slaughter it. They would offer it as a sacrifice so that the sins would be on the animal. But here is the first time someone, i.e. John the Baptist, preached the forgiveness of sins, and that without a sacrifice. Why? Because he was the forerunner of Jesus. He was to make way straight and way the way of the Lord. And he preached about Jesus. He is the first, as we would call it, Christian evangelical evangelist in the New Testament. He preached it. They heard it. They repented. Then they were baptized by water. John was chosen to be the voice of one crying to make ready. Water was to be flowing over them after the repentance of heart was done by them. Question: do you really, truly, absolutely, honestly, completely, totally know that you are a Christian and have Jesus living inside your heart? That you have received the blood of Jesus to cleanse you from sin. Not just that it's convenient, not just that you believe it happens, but that you can point to a time and a place where you kneel, at least in your heart, and say, Jesus, forgive me. You see, as I have interacted in churches and across denominations and across multiple associations, I have found a tremendous problem in some of this. I even know pastors who do not define it well, preachers who cannot define it well, and that is horrifying. They stand behind a pulpit, or in this case a table, for to break the bread of life from the bread of life, and they cannot define it for sure. Is it any wonder our preaching and our teaching and our discipling and our discipleship is weak in the Christianity of the churches of today? You see, I make no apology. I'm just going to preach this book. It's got more than I'll ever preach in my lifetime. I believe every promise in the Word is mine, every chapter, every verse, every line. I believe everything that it says. I will not, cannot, shall not, never have, never will say it's wrong. And it reveals from the beginning of the beginning of the beginning of in the beginning God all the way to the very last verse. Behold, I come quickly, as far as message bearing verse. God is holy. God is true. God has a plan for you to be a part of him so that you and he together can dwell in eternity forever. John was established the initial holiness of baptism, and it was followed from that point. Repentance. Baptism by water. Point B is this. Point B is this. Baptism by water, revelations and or disclosure. A was established, and B is revelations and disclosure. Let's look, if we could, together at Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. When all the people were baptized, i.e. those who were being baptized as believers on and seeking the Messiah, they had already believed, now they were being baptized in water. It came to pass that Jesus was also baptized, and while he, i.e. Jesus, prayed. Isn't that interesting? He prayed when he was baptized. How long has it been since you spoke with the Lord and told him your heart's hidden secrets? How long since you stayed on your knees and you prayed till the light of his love shone through? Prayed. He prayed. And when he did, the heavens were opened, verse 22, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form as a dove on him. A voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased." We also see that in Matthew 3:13 through 17, Mark 1:9 through 11, and John 1:29 through 34. It is one of those things that all four of the Gospels record. Every last one of the Gospel writers recorded it. All were being baptized as a revelation and a pronouncement of their belief in the Messiah. Are we getting it? They already believed. Believers get baptized. Baptism by water comes after repentance, and baptism by water is a testimony of the change in the heart and belief of the heart of Jesus. Baptism was being done with the masses. What's that important? Let me tell you why it's important. It's not just the elite. It's whosoever. As a lot of you know, I have been a nurse a lot of my life. I became a nurse in 1995. This is pushing toward 30 years. I'm still licensed. I have rubbed up close to some of the most elite doctors, brain surgeons, neurosurgeons, the people who trained other doctors in the universities, and they are who I would call elite. I have taken health care law from some of the best attorneys and teachers at the University of Kentucky. Elite. I have been blessed. But it's not just the elite here that are being baptized. It is all the masses. It is for everyone who believes on, in, and with, and for, and about, and experiencing Jesus. There's no exclusive club in this thing. All can be baptized if they already have repented. All who were baptized by John had the revelation of the message of John coming to completion. Don't forget, he came to prepare the way of the Lord, i.e., Jesus. And now, when they hear this proclamation by the Holy Spirit of the voice from heaven and the descending of the Holy Spirit in bodily form as a dove, that he, Jesus, is here, and this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, John's ministry was now being completed. And he stepped back from the limelight and was still heard from, but not to the point, and he would be later brutalized and martyred. All who were being baptized by John had the revelation and belief of and acceptance of Jesus. They were there. They heard. They experienced. They knew. They could not escape. They could not deny. Water baptism happened to the very Son of God. I call that extremely holy. I call that extremely modeling. I call that extremely messaging. That if God's only Son, as holy as He is, was, and always will be, was baptized, so must we. The people did not leave. They would cleave to Jesus at least for a while, to Him as Messiah, and then they would forsake Him, but John did not. Point C is this. Baptism by water continued. It did not stop. It continued. Let's look, if we could, and it still continues, but let's look, if we could, in Acts chapter 8, verses 36 through 38. Can we do that together? Acts 8, 36 through 38. Now, as they went down, let's stop. Let's give you some background. They, being Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, how dare a Jewish man associate with a pagan, a Gentile? But he was appointed for that moment. As they went down, Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch, the road, they came to some water, the two of them. The eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? What hinders me, a non-Jew? What hinders me, someone who's listened to you? What hinders me, someone that you don't know or accept in your churches? What hinders me from being baptized?" Verse 37, Philip then said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." That's where we get biblically, if you are a believer, that's it. You may. And he, i.e. the eunuch, said this. He gave a sterling, powerful, absolute testimony. "I believe Jesus is the Son of God." Done deal. Testimony said, life proclaimed. Verse 38, so he commanded the chariot to stand still. We think that was probably the Ethiopian eunuch because it was his chariot. He had a driver. So he, the Ethiopian eunuch, probably, we don't know, commanded the chariot to stand still. Isn't this going to be something? The first witness of someone being baptized that we have recorded in the scripture, after everything, of John, is an Ethiopian eunuch, and it's by a you and me common person that was driving a chariot. Usually, they were the slaves of the day that were at the whim and call of the echelon, the average Joe Blow. And they were at the echelon, at the women call of the echelon. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. They got wet. They didn't have hip waders. They didn't have swimsuits. They got wet. And I, in my mind, see the Ethiopian eunuch even still in his Ethiopian eunuch royal robe. He would not be deterred. And he, Philip, baptized him, the Ethiopian eunuch. This also happens another time for someone else in Acts 10, 47. 1 Peter 3, 20 through 23 about repentance and beyond, and Matthew 28, 19 in the Great Commission. Baptism by water was started with John, and it was expanded to Jesus. But then it went on to any believer. We are not exclusive, folks. We call ourselves Champion Church of the Nazarene, but we are not the only ones going to get to heaven. That may shock some of you, but that's okay. It's time to get shocked. I've read the book cover to cover, and I do not see anything about a denominational affiliation being what it gets us to heaven about. I see a lot of people saying in the Bible, well, we belong to the Sanhedrin, and we are this, and we are that, and they did not make it. And Christ called out woes unto them and condemned them. Anyone who is a believer can receive it or receive it again. And I'll get to some of that. Baptism by water was continued by the evangelist Philip to someone who was not associated or accepted and yet was still a believer. Question, folks. I think and I hope and I pray I'm right in knowing the answer, but I'm going to still broach it, the question. What if someone came in, sat down, who was not very clean? Would we accept them? I was at City Mission this week. I served up meals. I had the time of my life. I talked with 35, 40 people, and I had the time of my life. And then I went to where Heather lives. They had a fire at her apartment complex. And I spoke with a lot of people there. And they told me about the terror and the fear that they had, especially on that floor where it happened and on the floor below. They had police, sheriff, and fire department banging on doors saying, you got to get out, you got to get out now. Grab your meds, grab some clothes, and get out, and do not wait for anything else. If you got pets, grab them and come. They did not know how much they could contain that fire. Thank God they did. But still, I'm going back this week. I'm going back to both. Because I just believe God said whosoever will may come means that whosoever will may come. What if someone were to walk in that's homosexual, obviously, blatantly? I lived in Lexington, Kentucky for a while, and it is known or accepted at least as being, percentage-wise, has more homosexuals, LGBTQ community in that, pardon me, more percentage of the population in that town are LGBTQ community than even in San Francisco. For a while they had a gay mayor. I ended up in the hospital. I don't know what for. It wasn't very long, but I still ended up in the hospital, and I had a very obviously gay nurse aide take care of me two nights straight. And something told me he's ready. So I kept sharing him, being kind to him. And he asked me the first night, why do you do this to me? No one treats me this good. And I said, because Jesus loves you, this I know, because my Bible tells me so. He walked out. He did the basics, but he wouldn't talk. And I thought, oh God, I thought I was supposed to do this. I didn't want to offend him. I don't want to offend anybody for the gospel. The gospel offends sin in people. The gospel offends people because of their sin, but I don't want to be the reason. Second night, he came back in. He made his rounds, and I saw him making rounds, and I thought, well, I don't have him tonight, and finally he popped in. He said, I want to talk to you about last night. And I promise you, folks, that young man spent maybe 3 hours in my room that night, and we talked. He said, well, what if I'd have come to your church with my husband? Now, that'll get your gizzard, won't it? That's Kentuckian for those on the internet. That means that'll get you. That'll make you surprised. That'll kind of speak to you. That'll get your gizzard. And I said, my wife and I will just scoot over. Come on down. Your next contestant on the pew is right. Let me tell you what that church did. They came. They came. Holding hands. Very obviously, gay. They sat beside us. I saw them, and I pointed to my late wife, and I said, they're here. And she said, she got up. She said, we're sitting here. Please come sit with us. And who are you? Well, my husband was your patient. Please come sit with us. They did. That's one of the few times my late wife and I did not sit together. We sat on each side of them to include them and incorporate them and let them know they're accepted. There were some eyes made, but let me tell you what this church did. Usually a lot of us went out afterward for a bite to eat. Five or six people came up and said, can we buy you your lunch? We would like to include you. We're going out. We want to buy your lunch. I thought Karen, my Karen Wan, as I call her, my late wife and I, we're going to buy the lunch. We didn't get a chance. I don't know who bought the lunch and who paid the tip. I don't know. I don't care. What would happen if someone like that came in here? Folks, if you're in the internet and you feel like you're not really accepted by many, come on down. You're the next contestant on The Pew Is Right. They're padded pews. They're not solid pews everywhere. We'll love you. We'll accept you. Might even take you to lunch. Who knows? We were going to take another couple to lunch today. They said they had some other things come up, and we're not going to take them. So, you know, so what? We take you to lunch. Because we believe Jesus fed and Jesus accepted. And we will feed you and we will accept you. That's just the kind of church this is. I think, I hope, I pray. Not just in word, but also in deed. We'll give you some pastoral perspectives and then I'm going to close. Water baptism is mentioned the least of any of the baptisms in Scripture. I know that. I've looked it up. I've studied it. I get it. But it is point two, a three-step process, and from a three-step process, a deepening process after that. Yet it is still very, very, very holy. It is exhibited. It is demonstrated. We are called to do it. In Matthew 28, 19, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. We are to continue to do it. Throughout Acts, they did it. Throughout the New Testament church, they did it. We are called to do it. We have it. We'll do it. Second, nowhere in the Bible is it indicated that baptism cannot be redone or done again. We're speaking with a man this week. He got baptized at age 15. He did not share. I could share his name, so I'm not going to. It's called confidentiality. But he said after he got baptized, he walked out and something was so different in such a glorious way. Folks, it is a glorious, glorious, glorious occurrence. It's very holy. It's not just a ritual, because if all you do is make it a ritual, then don't do it. I'm not doing it. A testimony of returning to Jesus from a life of sin. I knew a man that he got baptized when he was young. He grew up in a good Christian home. And then as he got older, he went out into horrible, horrible sin. But even as God says, his word will not return void. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he was old, he will not depart from it. He got to be in his 50s. And as he stood there over the casket of his final parent, everything came flooding back. 6 months later, maybe, he came back to Jesus. He still had the gangbang tats on him. He still had the jacket. But he put the jacket down and he covered his arm. And he went and got another tattoo in the one place he could not hide. And he put a cross to tell people he was now serving Jesus. I do not recommend that, but that's what he did. Then he wanted to be baptized again. I lived the life. I departed the life of Jesus. The life I lived was horrible. The life I lived, I went back into sin. Now I'm a believer again. Would you baptize me again? Absolutely. Let me fill up the tank. Rebaptism if you come back to Jesus. New baptism if you've never been baptized as a believer. That's kind of obvious from the sermon. But here's something I also believe. It's not condemned in Scripture, but I believe it, and I believe it's okay. If you as a believer want to restate again, this many years later, that you just want to say to people, I'm a believer. My gut feeling is that you may not hear audibly like Jesus did and the other people did, but you will hear in your spirit, you are my beloved and chosen son or daughter, in whom I am well pleased. Do you want to be well-pleasing to Jesus? You have with you these forms, connection forms. We are not going to ask you to stand. We're not going to ask you to wave your hand or throw something at me. That last part's the only humor you're going to get today. But what we are going to do, as well as online folks, you have the ability to do that. We're going to ask that you fill this out and say, interested in baptism. I already know one that definitely wants it and one that's already interested in it. And I would ask them to do it too, so I have a record. Please fill it out. But anyone else who wants to even consider, think about, do it. The leadership team and I have talked, and we're going to do a baptism. My target is sometime in September, October at the latest. And if you can't get in water, or you, because you're handicapped and you want to be rebaptized, I've got a pitcher of water I can pour over your head. If you have fear of water, we can pour water. Again, it's not the how, it's that. It's done. Why do I do this? Why as a pastor do I say this? Why as a pastor do I preach this? Why is it so important? Let me just answer all of those questions in one sentence. Baptism, even water baptism, is biblical. It is biblical. And thus, what we all as disciples of Jesus are to experience, have, and dwell in. Let me share this. If you have children or teenagers or adult children that want to do it, and you're here when they do it, and they are believers, I'm going to let you be a part of that. They're your kids. You get to be a part of it too. I'm not me, I'm going to put you under either, but you get to be up here with me. You see, it's just that sacred, it's just that holy to me. This is not just something that's in the manual of our polity, our policy and procedure manual. It is something that is holy and spoken of in here. Let's pray, can we? Jesus, we are here. We celebrate that the Holy Word of God reveals the Holy Son of God, who had a holy occurrence witnessed to by the Holy Spirit of God. And thus, through that and other verses, tells us we are to be and can be baptized. It's sacred. It's holy. Over the last 3.5 months, we've been building on a foundation, or we've been building a foundation. Now it's time to build on this foundation. How do we go forward as disciples of Jesus? And this is one of them. This, once we become a disciple of Jesus, is to follow you in baptism. We ask you, Lord, that we would hear from others that want to be. And then, we experience a service. We invite people from the community that want to be baptized or baptized again. And we celebrate. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You have been very kind. Y'all are dismissed.
Thanks for listening to Champion Church of the Nazarene's weekly sermon podcast. We hope you were inspired by this week's message. We'd love for you to join us on a Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 3924 High Street Northwest in Warren, Ohio. You can also join us on Facebook Live. For more information about our ministries, or if you'd like to contribute to our ministries online, visit us at championnaz.org.